Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we review the new and old in nerdy movies. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Material on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, or even sometimes crude, so you have been warned. What up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody? I hope everybody's having a superb week.
Superb.
Because, you know, the nerdy boys probably, having a pretty good week.
Yeah.
Christian?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm drinking this Kool-Aid Jammer. It's really
wow,
good.
Wow, you're so lucky.
I got my Kool-Aid Jammer in my Lunchables, bros.
Yeah.
Because little known fact about me, I'm actually 7.
Pretty much.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know.
I probably sound 7 to most of you, but I'm like 26.
So we've been, doing our movie reviews. This is our movie review podcast. We've been talking about Harry Potter. We finished that series, guys. You can listen to all that on all whatever nerd whatever podcast platform you listen to all your nerd podcasts on,
whether it be
just our show.
You know, right? iTunes, Podbean.com, Libsyn,
Stitcher,
yeah,
Mixcloud, all that bullshit. Yeah. You can find us literally almost anywhere because we are fucking
amazing.
Almost popular.
We're the best. We are the best.
The best around.
Best of the best.
So if you want to listen to our Harry Potter reviews, go do that. Today we're not talking about Harry Potter. Today we're going to be talking about Ready Player One, the movie. It's an adaptation of a book that came out in 2012, I believe, or
yes.
2011 or something, whatever. And so we're going to be talking about the movie. We are, after this, going to start a new film series. And we kind of put a poll out on Instagram, and we put one on Twitter a while ago, but to be honest, we haven't had a sufficient amount of votes. We're just going to do the Lord of the Rings series. I don't know if we're going to start with The Hobbit and move into Lord of the Rings, or if we're going to do Lord of the Rings and then The Hobbit. We'll figure all that out. But that's what we're going to be moving into, guys. It's going to be very exciting.
Exciting, exciting, exciting.
Yes. And, I mean, on another note, right, if you guys listened to our Harry Potter podcast, you heard me do this English accent at the beginning, right?
Right.
I'm not going to lie. My English accent's pretty great.
He's tried to refine it over time.
I watched this guy try to tell like these other people how to like, you know, how certain phrases can make you sound English and stuff and how to say them. Guys, the secret to sounding English is don't fucking try so hard, because where people go wrong and it's very obvious you're not really English, or like you're purposely putting on an accent, is when you put too much emphasis on certain areas of your speech, you know? Like there's a cadence to how people in different parts of England speak. And if you try to put way too much emphasis on it, you'll sound ridiculous. Like when we try to be Scousers, we say, it's a disgrace, right?
Yeah.
Pretty simple. What other people do is when they try to emulate that, they say, it's a disgrace. You sound like you're doing too much, dude. Knock it off. There's your English lessons from me, okay? Anyway, do we want to do the announcement?
Yes, we'll do it on both podcasts. So last week we talked about we had a merchandise secret announcement to make. We didn't give anything else away. Why? Because we're the master of disguise.
Also, because fucking Jessica, you fucking bitch. We'll talk about you in a little bit.
oh, Jessica. Yes.
Anyway, okay. All
right, to get to the secret, we're rolling out new merchandise, boys. Well, not really new. It's the same old one, but just reestablished in a different way.
It's our awesome logo designed by my friend Vince. You can find his art on Instagram at Tall Can Spank. He does good work. Follow him.
Awesome.
He does
amazing work, guys. You should definitely follow him on Instagram. He does, you know, he even like kind of does like a little bit like tattoo styles as well. I think he's done tattooing in the past. I don't know if he currently does that endeavor, but I know he's dabbled in it.
Yeah,
no surprise to me. He's phenomenal. A great artist.
Yeah.
But yes, we are currently selling our stuff on Amazon. What?
Yeah.
Biggest retailer in the world. What? Yeah, we're there, boys.
Yeah, we have a pretty good margin as well, guys. A whole 25%, boys. That's actually a decent margin, to be honest. But yeah, we're affiliated. We're partnered with Amazon, if you will. So you can go there. You can search Nerdy Boys Reviews. Our shirt will be right out there at the top. You can get in 5 different colors: black, white, baby blue, Heather Gray and Heather Blue, and they're pretty cool. It's $19.99. You can get it with Prime, but they have to make it, obviously, so it takes probably 4 or 5 days to get to you. You know, two days to make it, 2 days to ship it out to you, whatever.
Right.
But you can get it with Prime, free shipping, whatever. Free returns on that as well. So just go check that stuff out, guys. It's really awesome. But here's the thing. If you look at our logo, you'll notice I'm wearing a shirt that has a half circle and half a star on it, which is obviously Captain America's shield, and Scott's has half a bat on it because that's the bat symbol from Batman, because we're nerds and we wear nerdy fucking apparel, right? Well, Amazon thinks that Marvel owns our logo because half of Captain America's shield is in the photo. So on the merchandise, you'll see those logos are cut off. Because apparently, I would have to get rights from Marvel to sell something with half a fucking shield on it. And this bitch, Jessica, who I can... Because I sent in an email because they said, you know, your merchandise implies that it's involved with a third party or whatever. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I just kind of said, you know, they said it violates copyright. So I said, well, what exactly violates copyright so I can fix it? And, you know, whatever. Just saying, you know, our logo is not copyrighted like that. Like... we, you know, it was drawn for us. We own it, right?
Right.
And so this lady got back to me. She said, I'm Jessica. I'll be handling your complaint, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, thanks for getting back to me, Jessica. What part of my logo is owned by Marvel? Is it the design of the logo? Because it's in the style of like old Spider-Man kind of art, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, is it the style? They don't own an art style. It's something completely new. That should fall under fair trade. So should the shirts, to be honest. But even so, I'm thinking it's half a shield and you can barely see the star. Like, obviously, we'll you know, associate with Captain America, right? But
right.
You, how can you say Marvel owns that, you know? And I'm just really confused about it. And so I said, Jessica, is it the style? Is it the half shield? But there's also half a bat symbol. Do I have to get permission from DC? She said, your shirt is owned by, or your design implies that Marvel is a third party that owns this logo. And she didn't answer my fucking question. Fuck you, Jessica. Fuck you. Ah! I don't understand. So what I did is I went through the process because you have to submit very fucking precise dimensions and pixels and all this shit to get your thing approved through Amazon, because they don't just take fucking nothing, dude. They, like, if I just submit our logo as it is, it'll say it doesn't fall under the fucking bullshit, whatever dimensions you need. So I downloaded a template, downloaded software so I can get it to the precise fucking dimensions. And so I did that. And then I did it again. I edited the logo to cut off the logos on the shirt. So you know, you won't have the half shield or half fucking bat symbol. You know, you guys know who we are. I guess you don't really need it. And then it got approved, boys. Fuck you, Jessica. I know you were trying to keep the man down. You can't fucking keep us down, okay? Fuck you.
Holy shit. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry for my slightly disturbed friend. Oh God!
Like, I was so confused and irritated by this, and I was just like, I just want to make some fucking money off our awesome fucking logo, dude. And you are sitting here saying Marvel owns it.
Oh God! So the bottom line, right, is we own the image. Marvel or DC does not own that image. Jessica's stupid, and we have new merchandise on Amazon.com. If you just search Nerdy Boys Reviews, you should find it. Like we said, it's, you know, the only difference is, like, the image is raised up on our chest a little bit more. You don't see the Captain America shield. You don't see the Batman symbol. Unfortunately, it loses a little bit of character, but it's still an awesome image. It's still an awesome shirt. Comes in 5 different colors. Comes in all the sizes, men, women, and children.
You know what I actually said to Jessica, right?
What?
I said, we don't have it copyrighted. How do I prove it's ours aside from showing you our faces, which are literally in the fucking image? Like, Do we just take a side-by-side, take a picture of our faces, send the logo, and say, look, it's clearly fucking us?
Dude, they might not think it's us because I don't have the poofy hair anymore. They're like, whoa, that guy's so much better looking.
Or even if you had the poofy hair, they'd say, oh, but it's not blue. Fuck you, Jessica!
Yeah, fuck you, Jessica.
I'm sorry if you listen, Jessica.
We're going to make a new shirt campaign saying fuck Jessica.
Fuck Jessica from Amazon customer support.
Oh, God.
You brought this upon yourself, Jessica.
Fuck, man. You have made an enemy out of the nerdy boys.
I actually tweeted Amazon fucked with the wrong nerds or something.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, technically,
I guess they
fucking won because I had to alter the logo. But yeah, you know what? Jessica. We're the real winners, Amazon, because we're making 25% on those shirts.
All right, guys. So if you guys would like to support us, please go to Amazon.com, search Nerd Boys Reviews, click on it, choose your, you know, your color, choose your size. Comes in all the sizes, comes in all the colors. If you would like to support us, and then, you know, if people ask you about it, just tell them about our podcast, tell them where you can find it and all that good shit, dude. We'll be posting links to it and posting videos, ad videos, sometime this weekend on our social media. Just another reason to be following us on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Vero. We have a website. I'm sure we'll post it on there, maybe. I'm not sure. We're posting it everywhere.
Yeah, main also, page, bro.
Also, right. Aside from the announcement, I'd just like to say, sorry if I sound all weird and nasally and stuff. I'm super sick right now, and I've been sick all week, and I've been sleeping most of the week, and it's this week has sucked, but yeah.
Super.
Yeah. Konnichiwa.
Oh, it's so back to that guy trying to teach you how to sound English, right? There's actually one where they spelled out Cockney phrases, like, phonetically. And, like, one of them was pretty good. It was, all much is it? How much is it? All much is it? Fucking Cockney. Fucking EastEnders. Fuck
you. Shut up. Just shut up about it already, Christian.
Sorry.
All right. Oh, yeah. We were supposed to be here for the Ready Player One
podcast. What? Oh, shit.
All right. So we're just going to talk about the movie, right? And then Christian has this little thing to talk about. And then we're going to be doing Easter eggs towards the end. There's going to be a lot of Easter eggs. Fair warning, guys. This is not a full comprehensive list of all the fucking Easter eggs. Because honestly, it'll probably take months to decipher all the fucking Easter eggs. And this kind of...
Okay. So
So this list that we have is about maybe 120 of them, which is a pretty fucking good list. But I watched a YouTube video, only watched half of it. I fucking found like fucking 350 fucking Easter eggs, dude. And it's just not the fucking full list yet.
Yeah. So the first time we saw this movie, Scott had posted on social media and he was like, this movie's fucking awesome. And then obviously prompt the comments about the book. And how it was better and all this stuff. This is what you guys need to understand. All adaptions are going to be different. Like, if you want to read the book, then read the fucking book.
I just
want
to say, guys, whoever's been with us from the very beginning, who remembers this exact conversation but me telling Christian this? Back in the days when, like, he was, like, a comic book Nazi and was like, oh, my God, I hate this because it's not exactly how it happened in the comics. And I used to have to explain that to him. Look at how my boy has grown.
But we've
let's all start a slow clap right now.
Well, we've reversed roles, you see, because I remember having this conversation with you after Captain America Civil War came out.
Okay, it was like one time in our entire history, so go fuck yourself.
See, I've learned things. I've learned things, right?
See, what are you pointing at?
People, friends of mine think that I like to prove them wrong, and
it's
that
true.
I am pretentious, and that I am always seeking to make them feel stupid.
Oh, this is exactly right.
I'm not. The thing is, if I say something, and then Scott says something different, and, you know, maybe I'll push back, and then I go to look it up. He thinks I'm trying to prove him wrong. I'm not. Because if he's right, I'll say, oh, you were right. I want to get it right. That's how you know that. Look, I'm not smart because I know things. I'm smart because if I get things wrong, I make sure that I look it up. If I don't know what a word means and I'm reading, I look it up. I don't fucking sit there and say, I'm pretentious. I know what everything fucking means, dude.
Yes, you do. anybody who's had a real conversation with you who knows what I mean.
Anyway, my point is, when I used to think like that, I used to think make what I read. I want to see that on screen. I want Baba. I want to see it, dude. I didn't understand.
Give me what I want.
How the adaptive process worked. I didn't really understand story that well or narrative or anything like that. I just said, I've read, I want to see what I saw as a child reading these comics come to life, dude. When you say Iron Man 3 and the Mandarin's going to be in it, let me tell you about the fucking Mandarin. This is what you should see. And then when they give you Ben Kingsley saying, I'm a fucking actor, fuck off! But that's okay, because I've learned, look, Iron Man 3 I hated when it came out. Now I think it's a decent movie.
No.
I've separated myself
no.
from that kind of thinking.
No.
Look, that little kid is kind of annoying. Aldrich Killian, terrible villain. We're not here to talk about Iron Man 3, but.
No.
My point
I
is.
I refuse. No.
I've.
Take it back.
When.
You take it back right now. I won't let you talk till you take it back.
I take it back.
All right, thank
you. So this is something that Scott and I have discussed before is when you know, you have a strong opinion on something.
Yep.
You know, because Scott would say, dude, you change your opinion too much, or you allow your opinion to be changed by other things. And I would say, well, if someone brings up a good point, I can't just dismiss it. Maybe my way of thinking has been wrong. You know, you have to look into it. Maybe I disagree still, or maybe, you know, we'll come to a point, whatever. But I like when people challenge my ideas because I'm not always right. I want to get things right.
I used to think that, right? Like, and I honestly, most of the time I still do. And, but until the death of the author debacle happened, that was an intense conversation.
Well,
on
there's
the
that. And then there's, you had this happen with Dennis, I think, one of our friends, Dennis, where you said something and he said, oh, well, you just got that from a meme or something. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, dude, if someone else brings up a good point and it makes you think or kind of like do more research, sometimes we think things and our opinions are ill-informed. Sometimes we think things because we read it somewhere and we never did any research, or we heard someone say it and we're like, that makes sense to us, and we think it's true until someone pushes back against us, and then the smart people out there who do the fucking research, and they say, wow, dude, I've been misinformed. Your opinion changes, then people think all of a sudden, dude, well, you changed your opinion because you are fucking gullible. No, dude, I was gullible when I believed the first thing I fucking heard.
Anyway, all right, so what was the whole point of this?
The point of this is that now that I have this understanding of adaption, I don't care that things are different as much.
Yes.
The movie should stand on its own separate from the book. That they should always do that. They are telling a new story that is capturing the essence of the original story, right?
Right.
Capturing that essence. And just because, dude, it's not the fucking same exact thing, that doesn't mean anything, right? So, anyway, should I talk about this now or do you want
to... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, I was going to buy the book just to read it. And as I was doing that, I saw this thing, right? From the Amazon book review, A Heck of a Lot of Fun, Ernest Cline on the film. Ernest Cline is the writer, the author of the book.
Right.
And this is what he said, or this is pretty much what they say. In 2011, Ernest Cline's Ready Player One riveted readers to the page as unlikely hero Wade Watts used his gaming skills and his knowledge of 1980s pop culture trivia to find clues left by billionaire James Halliday. Clues that would lead to control of the Oasis, the online virtual reality platform within which everyone in 21st century Earth lives the better part of their lives. There you go. That's what the fucking movie's about and the book. That's a good synopsis. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. They asked Cline for his thoughts. The interviewer said, several years ago, when you and I first spoke about Ready Player One being made into a movie, you were over the moon because Steven Spielberg would be directing it for a sci-fi author, or really any author, that's hitting the director jackpot. What was the actual experience of seeing Ready Player One taken from the page and put on the screen by Steven Spielberg? Ernest Cline said, it's been one of the most exciting, educational, and creatively fulfilling experiences of my life. Steven is a huge fan of the book, and he was incredibly invested in making an adaptation that stayed true to the spirit of my story, so he allowed me to collaborate with him throughout the entire process. Every novelist who has their work made into film should be so lucky. He said, how was the experience of writing a highly anticipated feature film screenplay different from writing a novel? What did you learn from the process? He said, it was incredibly challenging, but also a heck of a lot of fun. The process of adapting my own novel into a feature film helped me understand why it's almost always necessary to make considerable changes to the source material in order to tell a story in a more cinematic way. Books are Books and films are two completely different storytelling mediums, each with their own strengths and weaknesses. Things that work really well in a novel might not work in a movie at all, and vice versa. The best adaptations manage to capture the spirit of the story and the characters, and Steven Spielberg's adaptation of Ready Player One definitely does that in the best possible way. He said, your book, Ready Player One, hits shelves in 2011. What are your thoughts about the immersiveness and escapism of The Oasis and whether it has real-life parallels to social media? He said, when I was writing the novel, I always envisioned The Oasis as an allegory for the modern internet. Right now, in 2018, billions of us carry small handheld computers that keep us connected to the internet every second of every day. We already have virtual conversations and relationships with people we've never met, and we communicate through our social media profiles, which are just like Oasis avatars, idealized versions of ourselves that are often more representative of who we would like to be rather than who we truly are. So yes, I always had those parallels in mind when I created The Oasis, and they only seemed to have deepened in the years since the book was first published. I just love everything about what this guy is saying.
Right? Like, he's an all-star.
So, obviously, one part of what he said is his opinion about the movie, and he thinks it's great and this and that. That's all opinion-based stuff. But where this is not an opinion. When he says that you have to make changes, you have to I talked about this on our last Harry Potter podcast. You have to fundamentally question things when you make adaptations. You have to fundamentally understand the source material, and that's what he did. He had to re-question things. He had to reimagine it as a movie and really just capture the spirit. That is not debatable. That is not an opinion. That is what makes a good adaption. Personally, I can't speak to how well this movie was adapted from the book. I never read the book, but the movie I thought was spectacular, and it was fucking enjoyable as shit.
Dude, right? This movie was, dude, I mean, obviously, we cannot categorize it within, like, the terms of, you know, our nerd, you know, list and whatnot, but as my personal own, makes it into my top five, like, favorite movies of all time, dude. I think just like a mixture of like just all the different things, man, all the different things, from being like the Easter eggs, the cameos, everything that I've experienced in my lifetime as like a, you know, movie enthusiast or a gamer, like it just kept coming. It just kept coming, dude, nonstop, yeah. Dude, in that movie. And it wasn't in such a way like the whole idea of the Oasis and stuff, it makes it possible for them to do all that stuff. It wasn't forced, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like in the way that, you know, if you talk about, oh my God, there's like probably easily over 500 Easter eggs within that movie. You say something like that and you're like, oh wow, they just forced a bunch of stuff. No, it really wasn't. There's just so many little things here, there, and everywhere, dude.
Right. I mean, it's the world, you know?
Like, this movie was so spectacular. The plot, the story, the characters.
Not to mention the visuals.
Rich. The visuals were fucking, dude, amazing.
Yeah, I remember years ago when like some of the Knights of the Old Republic like trailers were coming out, you know?
Yeah.
And like we saw like that stuff. It wasn't like gameplay footage. It was like actual just animated trailers. And I remember thinking, why can't they just make a Star Wars movie like this? Like you can do so much more with this amazing lifelike animation. And that's what this movie did. Like they dude, just right. did amazing lifelike animation. It was great.
Absolutely, dude. And then like, so, like, the whole idea of the Oasis, it's VR. It's virtual reality to the next level. And the most exciting thing as a gamer, you know, I'm a gamer. You know, I've played hundreds of games, dude. Can't even tell you every game I probably have ever played, but it's been so many, and many of them were in this game. You know, and somebody that just started playing a little bit of VR at, like, you know, at a friend's house. I don't have my own VR, but I played it at a friend's house and stuff like that is... The crazy thing is, something like the Oasis is not far off. It's an actual possibility, guys, and like, and I'm not saying like the prospect of like living your whole life in a video game or anything like that, but like to have something like that would be just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, and one thing I don't like about what Ernest Cline said is the allegory thing. I think that allegory is very simple. It's like, oh, the Oasis is a proxy for real world social media and blah blah blah. I think you can definitely apply it to that. I don't think it has to be just that, though. I don't like the idea that, oh, this is just this, right? Like, it's definitely applicable, but, you know, that then the line ends there. So when he says it's definitely gained richness and deep depth in the years since because of how much more we've been immersed in it, that's applicability. You can apply it to that for sure. You can apply it to other things, vices, alcohol, you know, drug addiction, things like that, like getting lost in something. That's what this is, but...
I mean, yeah, I could see that, but I think he definitely is right. Like, the strongest connection you can make to it.
Oh,
which
definitely.
I you know, I get what you're saying, but, like, I think, you know, he is right, though. It's, like, the strongest connection you can make it to it is social media, because everybody, look, I open my phone. Give me 1 second. I open my phone. I have Snapchat. I have Instagram. I have Facebook Messenger, Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, Discord, Vero, you know, some, you know, I even have like dating apps on here. You just live your whole life in your phone and on these dating apps. You build a virtual presence for yourself and stuff like that. And so, you know, but, like, you know, the core message of, like, this movie is, like, you know, not, you know, don't forget about the real world too.
Right.
You know,
that's what it comes back to is, like, you can live your whole life online and then, you know, you can't eat online, you know?
Yeah.
You can't, I mean, you can fall in love online, but you don't have that human interaction. Like, you don't have that warmth, that touchness. You don't have that sense of anything. It's so distant. It's so fucking fragile. I don't know the fucking word. It's immaterial. It's hollow. It's shallow. It's false. It's not real.
Yep. Exactly.
Anyway.
But, dude, yeah. This movie was amazing.
There are
things. I get so excited that I don't exactly know how to, like, say what I feel about this movie. You know what I mean? All I can say is just how good it is. Like, I've watched it twice, you know, already.
Look, in my opinion, we've covered the criticism about it not being like the book. I think what the author said was pretty spot on. I agree with him. I still believe in Death of the Author, if you're going to throw that in my face. But, you know, I mean, what he's saying about adaptation is true, and I think they did a phenomenal job with this movie. But let's address some of the other criticisms that I've heard.
Okay.
Some people said that this movie didn't do a good job of depicting the dystopian future. I disagree with that. Like,
what?
You know, obviously in the book, which I haven't read, this is what I've read from people, is, you know, it spends a lot of time depicting this world that's so dystopian, that's overrun with corrupt people, that you know, are you kidding me? The movie makes that a main point. There's, like, I think Wade Watts, the main character, even says, we need the Oasis. We need to escape this terrible reality.
Yep.
You know, because that's what it is. You need the escapism part of it is because the world is so dystopian. And sure, you can argue, well, the movie didn't depict that well enough. It didn't show you why these people need this kind of virtual world. I can see that argument. I just don't think it's very articulate. I don't think it's as spot on as you want it to be. I think it's nearer the mark to say you'd be more interested if they spent more time on that. But you can't knock a movie for things like it didn't do, like that weren't in it. Like, sure, maybe it didn't do it well enough for you, or it didn't do it in the way you wanted to see it.
Right.
But, okay.
So, okay, here's the thing that me and you talked about, and I think I'm pretty excited to talk about a little bit.
Is the economics thing?
Yes. How, and obviously, I'm sure it works differently from what I've read of when I was reading through some Easter eggs and stuff. There is, it's very different. There's, like, actual schooling in the virtual world and stuff like that.
Right.
So it makes me believe that there's actual job things that you do in the video game that earns you real life money, etc. But none of that is explained in this movie. How he said other than eating, sleeping, and using the restroom, you live your life inside of the Oasis.
Right.
And you see that because you see people walking in the real world with their headsets on. You know, you see people just in the living room with their headsets on. Every little facet, you know, the guy in the beginning of the movie, you know, when Wade is talking about when you zero out in the thing and when you die, you lose everything that you had. And so when you lose it, you actually lose your shit. and stuff like that, and you see a guy in like in a little office space trying to jump out a window. Anyways, but how does it all work? How they don't explain it, and it's very confusing. How does schooling work? How does, you know, the economic system work? It's right. very confusing, because then you think, if somebody's that rich in the game and then it transfers into real life, like, aren't they probably living good then? So how do you explain H in that game?
Right.
Obviously you don't know her home life, but, you know, because, like, you know, the car she drives in real life is like this, like,
it's like a mail van.
Yeah, it's like a mail van and stuff like that.
Carrier.
And so you kind of get the sense that maybe she's not super well off. Right. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's like a repair person that builds things. And, you know, Wade even talks about how everybody in the Oasis is like covets her or him.
Right.
You know, because it's H.
Right, you know, they don't really explain any kind of economic thing. Like, we get hints, you know, where the asshole guy dating his aunt is like, he's like, well, you know, he spent all this money on these gloves, and he's like, well, I was gonna earn it back until your shithead nephew, whatever. Like, they don't explain how he's earning money in the Oasis that's redeemable in the real world. We know, like, you can buy those super suits, the X1 suits, in the virtual world, and it's redeemable in the real world. But, like, they don't really explain too much, and you can't say, well, like, you know, oh, shit. you can't say, like, because Wade, you know, gets all this money at the end, you know, that it's redeemable in the real world, because he got that money because he won the challenges, and because he beat the three challenge Oasis thing, he earned his role as a shareholder of James Halliday's company.
He became the sole proprietor.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the only reason that was redeemable, you know, and that's what everybody's spending all the time in the game for, I think, mostly, is to try to win that. But, like,
yeah,
you earn coin in the game. It doesn't explain how. Is it like Bitcoin? Is it like a virtual currency that is redeemable in the real world? How does that all work? They don't explain it. You can backfill. You can headcanon. You can do what you want. I mean, it doesn't take away from the movie, to be honest.
No, it definitely doesn't. But it is something like one of those like lingering questions that you kind of do wonder about. And yeah, and I think honestly, you probably brought up the best, most logical explanation: Bitcoin.
Right.
That is exactly how it probably works.
And to me, this is one of those things. This is one of those fun, interesting conversations you have. Okay, I've never been drunk, but this is what I imagine, is people who go to bars with their friends, they get drunk, and they're nerds, and they talk about shit like this, like, dude, how does this work? How does this world work? How does the mechanic of this work, you know? And it's like stuff that really doesn't matter, but it's so interesting to talk about, and I think that's what I imagine nerd bar talk is like, to be honest.
Maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, anyway, the plot of this movie, pretty simple, pretty easy to follow, simple kind of thing. And then the main theme, obviously, is you got to live in the real world. Don't be afraid to kiss the girl, dude, like me. Don't fucking spend 4 hours alone with a girl in her house and barely touch her, because that is just not on, dude. yeah, I like how the first time we watched this movie, when Wade was afraid to kiss pretty lady orange hair, everyone fucking looked at me when he was afraid to kiss her, dude. Fucking everybody just looked at me like, look at that nerd over there in the corner.
True.
Fuck. Sam. Her name was Sam. Samantha.
Samantha Cook. Dude.
Yes. Pretty
Artemis hair. In the game.
Yes, Artemis. She was.
Or Artie.
She was a good looking artificial character. animated character.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Tell me why, right? The main villain, the guy who runs IOI, was his avatar in the Oasis Superman? Pretty sure
that's one of the Easter egg things I was going to talk about.
Oh, where to go? He looks like he is.
No,
a
yeah,
girl,
it's supposed
so.
To be like the evil Superman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It kind of looks like Lex Luthor Superman. But
yeah.
I like how his eyes change colors. Like
yeah, that was kind of cool.
They're gold color, and that's what happens with Gollum a lot in Lord of the Rings.
So this one's not confirmed, but it seems like to me that what's his name? Main character.
Wade?
Yes, Wade. Haha. His character Parsifal is supposed to be Cloud from Final Fantasy. He really looks like him. And that's what I thought, but I don't know. There's no real mention of it. I'm just like, I guess not. I don't know. It's very confusing, except for with the exception of Wade's character has like a little bit different colors on his skin and stuff, like the little designs or whatever. Yeah. Like Cloud doesn't have that, but like if I showed you a picture, you like kind of looked at it and I'm like, oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah, and Parsifal is named for the Knight of the Round Table who discovered the Holy Grail.
Yep.
There you go. The Holy Grail, boys.
There you go. Very strange.
Yeah, and Artemis, the goddess of some shit. So.
Yep. Yeah, this movie is so amazing, guys. I don't know. I other than the economic thing, I cannot think of like something bad to say about the movie.
No, there's.
I think this movie was legitimately one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, and I read one of like the reviews, or someone had mentioned this in a comment that I read, and I thought it was really funny. They said, I love the movie, and I fucking hated the book.
Really?
Yeah. They
I would love to read the book, honestly. I really want to.
I'm probably going to buy the book digitally, because it's just easier for me to read books at the gym digitally.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so, like, just a peculiar thing. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely interested in reading the book. I mean, it gives you a different insight. It gives you, like, that's the whole thing is, like, if the movie is just like the book, what the fuck is the point of reading the book? Right. Anyway, I think there's a lot to find in this movie as well. Besides the Easter eggs and the characters, you learn all these interesting themes of, you know, besides just living in the real world versus reality and what you do in moderation and whatever and all that stuff. There's so much to gain from this film. I mean, I don't necessarily find all the characters like riveting or entertaining or amazing, but you know, your main, like, trio, obviously, you know, are pretty great.
Yeah, and you get, like, backstory on them, and they're honestly, like, really great characters.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get much on the other two characters. I forget their names, honestly.
Shoto and, yeah. One is, like, Shiro? Yeah, I think that's it. Shoto and Shiro.
Yeah. Like, the red samurai and, like, the yellow ninja guy.
Yeah. Ninjas don't hug.
Ninjas don't hug. Yeah, he's like an 11-year-old kid. It's so funny, dude.
Which is so true, though. So, you know, when I talked about the book description as like 80s pop culture, this movie, I think, is more focused in more recent pop culture, to be honest.
Well, yeah, like I read that, you know, somewhere I read, they're just talking about how like they had to make it more modern.
Right.
Because the 80s theme, which I think that's like the book, you know, they go more just 80s stuff like gaming and whatnot. You know, it just doesn't work now, you know, like say if you make this movie like in the 2000s, it works as just making like a straight adaption.
Right.
But, you know, with all the great stories out there in gaming, all the different worlds, all the different characters, you have to adapt with the times. You have to, you know, include all these characters and stuff like that.
Right, and you can even argue that maybe they didn't do it to the extent they could have, like, the popularity of Battle Royale games now, you know, it's like, at the final battle, like, you know, it's definitely, you know, something that you could expect to see is someone building some kind of wall and climbing up and shooting rockets at the enemy, you know? Because that's what I gather Fortnite is, just building walls and shooting rockets at people.
Well, that's Fortnite, but
you know, something like that. Like that it'd be in that kind of cartoony kind of battle sequence, like, or whatever. Yeah. But
I love everything about the movie, so
No, I'm not saying that's a criticism. I'm just saying like you wouldn't be surprised to see that.
Oh yeah, no, not at all. I definitely would not be surprised. So are we ready to get into Easter eggs?
Yeah, because there's a lot to talk about when you talk about Easter eggs.
I mean, a lot of them, I'll just be kind of blowing through them to let you guys know. Some I might stop and talk about it, but for the most part, I'll just be reading through them because there's a lot to get through. There's like 120 on this list. All right, so first off, climbing with Batman, the Michael Keaton version of Batman, which was cool to see. I love Batman. There was a Flash cameo. Not a lot of people caught it. It was when Wade first entered the Oasis with his avatar, like actually walking out of that portal. You quickly see the Flash coming in and out of the frame. RoboCop cameo.
Yep.
You see that? Marvin the Martian cameo.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, Marvin the Martian, get him. The Ready Player One logo is actually a Easter egg in itself. It's one of those little maze sketches.
Yeah.
Halliday is buried in a Spock coffin.
Yes.
Along with a shit ton of Star Trek.
Starfleet Academy symbols.
Yeah. Then it was again. Jason Voorhees.
Yep.
Duke Nukem, which was exciting to see. That was like when they went on Planet Doom and H was like, he was like shooting in the beginning, like stretch out his body. See right there? That's Duke Nukem right there.
Oh, yeah.
Duke Nukem was a video game that I used to love playing. Well, I used to play it a lot with my brother, but I really used to play it a lot with like my childhood best friend. And like we just played hours and hours on that game, dude. I used to love that fucking game. Freddy Krueger cameo, also in the same frame. With H, Halo, oh, the Halo assault rifle, H was using in that scene as well. The, MA5B gun,
right,
which is like one of the main guns. The rail gun that, Parsifal picks up is the eraser rail gun from the movie. They're the, his, like, I guess you could call like uncle in law, maybe, I don't know. His avatar is Jim Raynor Starcraft from Starcraft. He's like the Marine, whatever. Dark Brown cameo. Parsifal's like holster. It's the same as Han Solo's.
Yeah, his belt holster.
Yeah. When Parsifal is like walking around in the world, you see like that giant like cat. If you look to like the left of him, you see like the Hello Kitty characters there.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's on your list, but he also has a Thundercat logo on his belt.
Yep, it's in there. It's in there. Yeah, that's there, though. There's a bunch of Battleborn characters. I'll get most of them. And guys, don't get angry at us if we miss some important ones that were important to you. You know, I'm sorry, but we're trying to get most of them. There's a Battleborn Atticus cameo, StarCraft Protoss Zealot cameo, the 66... The 1966 Batmobile was in the race. Mad Max Interceptor was also in the race. Stephen King's Christine vehicle was in the race. The Speed Racer Mach 5 was in the race, as long as you can also see Ryu from Street Fighter. The A-Team van was in the cameo, was in that race as well. Obviously, you know the DeLorean was there.
Yes.
Along with the circuit board, which actually has updated numbers from the old one, obviously, to match the current date, you know. Which is also, there's actually like little things that Parsifal did to the DeLorean and made it updated. Like, you see him like racing, and like you see that little like red light in the front that's not in the actual DeLorean, that's the Knight Rider. That's like a little Easter egg to the Knight Rider. Yeah. Tomb Raider was actually in a couple of spots in the movie. You see her talking to Gears of War character Dizzy during like the beginning of that race. And you also see her like right next to Tracer in the final battle, which you also see Tracer.
Cheers, love.
Pole position Formula One car in the race. What's her name? I already said her. What was her name? What's her name?
I don't know.
Artemis. Sorry. Her bike is Akira's motorcycle, which like an old, really old video game. Etch's truck is the Bigfoot monster truck, which is a very popular monster truck, and you know, Hot Wheels and made all kinds of different things. Artemis' bike was littered with. Like little shout out things, you know, had a Wonder Woman sticker, Miss Pac-Man, and some other stuff as well. The dinosaur is assumed to be from the Jurassic Park T-Rex. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the race, you see them pass a little movie theater. You see Jack Slater 3, which is the Last Action Hero nod. Delta City sign also spotted in the race, which is a RoboCop reference. Ace Chemicals is also seen in the city skyline, which is supposed to be like the birthplace of the Joker, which is pretty cool. You see Peter Jackson's King Kong in the race. A lot of these things were like in the race because, you know, it did take a pretty big part of the movie. So Sorrento's avatar was the evil Superman. War of Worlds tripod cameo. Irock's Hamlet skull reference, which was, you know, pretty cool. You know, he's like talking, you know, and he talks about how he hates dubstep and he hates pirates and. Or no, he hates steampunk. Sorry,
steampunk
and pirates. So, the Gremlin treasure chest, Spaceball, Long Star, Winnebago Easter egg, H's fragile rock lunchbox, which had all like the little models in it and stuff like that. Which, speaking of, had a Battlestar Galactica model ship.
Yes.
Had Aliens USS Sulaco model ship. That one's not really important. So this one is actually kind of debated. You see in Etch's workshop, there's like kind of like, it's hard to see, but like right there you see like a little robot. A lot of people think it's the PO024 field repair E-frame in his workshop, but there's some people that argue that it's something else, but it's not. You see the RoboCop's ED209 ship. You see the Cowboy Bebop Swordfish 2 ship. A lot of this stuff being in H's warehouse, by the way. You see the 2001 Space Odyssey pod in the warehouse. You see the Battlestar Galactica Viper in the warehouse. You see Buck Rogers Thunder Fighter in the warehouse. Ferris Bueller's 1961 Ferrari GT California in the warehouse, which is freaking an awesome car, by the way. You have the Lex Luthor and Superman quote. It's actually from the movie in 1978, in case you didn't know that. So the archives, when Parsifal first walks into the archives, you see the curator and you see all the benches and stuff. That is supposed to be modeled directly after the Breakfast Club. It looks exactly like it when you have a side-to-side picture of it. So you got Smokey and the Bandit, Trans Am Easter egg. You got Monty Python and the Holy Hand Grenade Easter egg, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is. You got an Arkham Knight cameo. I didn't even spot that. What the hell? Beetlejuice cameo. I seen that. Injustice Supergirl cameo, I seen that. Mortal Kombat Goro, which is, you know, that's the guy that it's when Artemis was disguised at him and came and grabbed Parsifal after he won the first race in the archive. And then Christopher Reeve's Superman reference, or just Superman reference in general. Superman history, you know, his the greatest disguise of all time is the pair of glasses. You know, but it's more than that, guys. It's more than that, you assholes. It's the whole thought of, you know, most people can't accept that there's a hero among us and stuff like that. And that's how the disguise is effectively put in place.
Well, and also guys. The fact that guy can't be Superman, you know. Yeah. He's just a weird nerd who works at the Daily Planet.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You know, most people don't accept that, you know, there's a hero among us. So, more Battleborn Benedict cameo, Cocktails and Dream, Neon Sign, Back to Future Goldie Wilson poster somewhere in the movie, the Firefly Serenity cameo.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Pissed myself. Star Wars X-Wing cameo, Deathstroke cameo when Parsifal is walking into the club. Kind of hard to see him, but he's right there.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was Deadpool, to be honest.
Yeah, so did I at first, but then I kept looking, and they only had DC characters.
I remember I mentioned something about that before.
And what it comes down to, right, I think it's probably a rights thing. I just don't think Marvel probably just didn't want all their shit in there.
It's a rights thing, and it's probably also, like, maybe a joke that, like, Disney is, like, not existent in the future or something.
Right. There's a Conan the Barbarian cameo, Devo Hat Bartender Easter egg.
God.
Chun-Li and Blanka cameo from Street Fighter. Mass Effect Shepard cameo. Harley and Quinn, the Joker cameo, spotted throughout the movie, honestly. Aliens, Ripley M41A pulse rifle, Parsifal's laser tag pistols, which I think he's using that in the club when he's, you know, dancing with Artemis and they're trying to survive. Artemis Judge Dredd pistol, Artemis Halo pistol, Dark Side of the Moon prism Easter egg, which is like, so like when you first put on the goggles and it shows the Oasis, it like forms the you know, the Dark Side of the Moon triangle, you know, and then,
yeah,
the you rainbow. Know, with the rainbow and stuff like that. what is this one? Blade Runner. Gosh, I don't even know like where that was at. Dungeons and Dragons references. Ultrabot Scorpion tanks on Planet Doom. The Battletoad cameo, which was super cool. Do you remember Battletoads? Like in back in the 80s, it was like a cartoon.
No.
I watched a little bit, you know, because I was born in 1991. So I did catch like some like old or like some 80s like cartoons and stuff like growing up. Stuff because like my brother watched, you know, like certain things. You see that like in the final battle. There was a couple different versions of the Ninja Turtles, mainly from Ninja Turtles 2. Battleborn's El Dragon battle cameo. Joust Ostrich cameo. Optimus Prime cameo. Tracer, I've already said that one. FemShep is fighting too, which is from, I don't even know. I don't know. Blood Rain cameo. Cool. Catwoman cameo. Battleborn Amber cameo. Mortal Kombat Casey Cage cameo. Army of the Darkness Deadites cameo. Master Chief and Arbiter from Halo. Spawn cameo, which was cool. DC's Injustice Heroes team up with Joker cameo. He-Man Battle cameo. Cool. The Gremlins, again. Marvel's Proxima Midnight. Deadshot cameo. Saget cameo. Which is, I think, Street Fighter again. Halo Rocket Launcher Easter egg. Duke Nukem Railgun Easter egg. The Gundam, which was freaking awesome, dude. That was so cool. Shit. The new Ninja Turtles were also in there. The Chucky doll, which was so... That little part was pretty funny.
It's fucking Chucky!
It's fucking Chucky. The Cruel Glaive, which is Toshiro, or whatever his name is. He throws it at the Skull Guy, whatever the fuck his name is.
I Rock.
The Iron Giant, obviously. Gears of War Lancer. Parsifal's Battlestar Galactica Blaster.
Pew pew.
Parsifal's surprise Hadouken attack. Hadouken.
Oh, that was that? Yeah. I kind of thought that was Kamehameha.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. To be fair, I've never really watched Dragon Ball Z. I did get Hadoukened at wrestling practice one time. This guy Hadoukened me into a wall, into a corner. It was right above my eye and slit my head. Yeah. And I was like bleeding and I fell. No. He Hadoukened me into the wall and I fell. My hand hit another guy's shoe. He hit my head against the corner of the wall. Even though I didn't hit him on purpose, it's not my fault I got Hadoukened.
Yep. All right. So back to the list. Batgirl cameo. Parsifal's sword, you know, on his back is a cameo as well. Which I don't.
I think it's just, it's Excalibur.
Yeah, probably Excalibur. There was a shit ton of Mortal Kombat ones. Citizen Kane, Rosebud reference. The jacket that H wears is just like littered with like Wonder Woman on there and other various patches that I probably couldn't tell you about. And then the end game, the end credit song connection at the end. And like I said, there's hundreds more to probably eventually go over. Maybe someday, like when I watch it over and over again, I might just, you know, make an article with all the Easter eggs. Sorry that took so long, guys.
It's all right. It's okay. Yeah, if you guys don't know who Proxima Midnight is from Marvel, you will when Infinity War comes out.
Yeah, should be good. Should be awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, so this movie, I mean, was fucking like Easter egg porn for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much like to gain on rewatches of this, just new things to find and see. And
yeah, it's like each time is just another journey into the Oasis, honestly. Like, that's right. The coolest part about this movie is that the rewatchability of this movie is actually kind of insane.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot to take away from it as well. So, I mean, most of the stuff, like, it's almost like the movie tones reflect what's happening, you know, like how you feel is like because of what's happening. So like when you're in the Oasis, like you feel like a different sense of enjoyment, you know, like you feel like you're escaping as well. But then when you're in the real world, you're just like, this is shitty, dude. Like, fuck, all our heroes are getting captured and fucking being put in labor facilities and shit, fucking concentration camp bullshit. Like, I mean,
that was insane.
I don't want to be in reality. I want to fucking go back to the Oasis and pretend to have sex with people.
Right? And be in casinos and win and lose all your money.
Yeah, I mean, even at the beginning when you're kind of going through, like, you see all, like the old, like, Top Golf stuff and, like, some of those, like, weird, like, arcade game-looking things as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's a lot to like about this movie, guys.
And you know what the interesting thing is, like, you almost want a follow-up to this movie just to explore the other parts of the Oasis.
I mean, it's set like, up for a sequel, to be fair. Like, you can easily make a sequel of this movie.
Yeah. Like, I was, like, thinking about it. I was like, dude, what about all the other parts of the Oasis that we didn't even get to discover and experience? And I was like, man, I wish the Oasis was real. And then I just, like, brought me back to the point. It's like, it's not far off, boys.
Yeah, I mean,
like, probably, like, another 10, 20 years, maybe, to that degree. But virtual reality, man, it's already here, dude. I mean, we have the beginning steps of it. That's... You know, and you know, so you think about, like, obviously it's not really part of the, well, it's kind of the discussion, but so, like, the rate at which technology has excelled at,
right,
you know, just in, like, the last 10 years is actually kind of amazing. So the Oasis was created in the film in 2025, I believe. Yes, 2025. Yeah. I'm pretty sure is, like, when they had that conference. So that is only 6 years away. That's almost, you know. So VR came out last year. So that's almost another 10 years since the VR came out. With the rate of the technology, something like the Oasis is definitely there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what happens.
What, like, if somebody actually just makes the Oasis? That'd be so cool.
The other thing, you know, we talked about the lack of knowledge of how money and things work in this world. Where's the government?
Right?
You think the government would heavily
so confused.
Regulate this kind of thing, especially in our world. The government would probably very heavily regulate the Oasis, especially if there is real world money to be earned from it.
Right, yeah, that too. And not to mention the blatant freaking, like, concentration camps.
Well,
that they have.
And the fact that, like, drones blew up a house or, like, an entire fucking section of housing. But we know there are police officers because they show up at the end.
I was actually pleasantly surprised about the police officers. I was like, oh,
so
they,
like,
do exist.
It's like, you know, you get this impression that, like, whatever his name is.
Who?
The main evil guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
I know
I'm
you
terrible
said,
with names.
Yeah. Who, like, you get the impression he doesn't want to kill the kids himself because he doesn't want blood on his hands. He like, it's for ethical or moral reasons. That's why he has this, like, hit woman or whatever. But, like, you never get the impression it's because it's against the law or anything, you know? It's
right.
Like IOI runs the world for some reason. Like, this is a terrible company. Why has the government not shut them down? Where is the government? Yes, we're in a dystopian future. Maybe there is no government. But if there's no government, there are no police officers. Like,
true.
I don't know.
It's very confusing how it works. And most of these things are all going to be headcanon things.
Yeah.
You know, things that you create yourself.
And
that's kind of cool about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's very cool when you can create this world and you leave so much creative space within the world that you allow your audience, you allow your readers and your audience to backfill things.
Right. And to be fair,
create things.
Again, for anybody who's going to scream and shout at us that this is explained in the books. We haven't read the book, so...
Go fuck yourself.
It's entirely possible that they explain it better in the book, where the government is, why they're not acting, whatever. It's not a part of the movie, though, that, and that's what we're talking about. So, unfortunately, we can't speak to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, this is a very, 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 very good movie.
I'd give it a solid A.
I give it, like, yeah, an A-ish. I still gravitate closer towards comic book movies. Guys, this might surprise you. I'm not very cultured when it comes to movies. I haven't seen a whole bunch of them. I never saw The Shining. I had no idea what was going to happen in that entire scene in this, to be fair. Like, I've heard it's a phenomenal movie. I've heard also that Stephen King hates it. But I've never seen it, so I didn't know what was going on. And so I gravitate towards more towards superhero movies, which, to be fair, a lot of them aren't great movies. Even Star Wars, Jamar sent us something. Some Star Wars fans said Star Wars movies are terrible films, but he loves them or whatever. I disagree with some of that. I mean, some Star Wars films are terrible. Some are just fucking amazing. Like, they're good movies. So, yeah. I like this movie, but I like superhero movies better. Like, I still think Black Panther this year was a better film than Ready Player One. Or I can't say better. I liked it more. It could have been not as good, but I liked it more.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think my opinion differs from that. It's hard, you know, because, like, when you understand all the references, and it's not just video games, it, you know, it's pop culture, it's movies, it's music, it's everything. It's just littered in the movie. It's just full of nostalgia, which nostalgia is a fickle thing, my friend. Nostalgia will make you misremember things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and when you talk about nostalgia, I mean, this is the thing that people who hated The Force Awakens criticize people who liked it for. Oh, it's just because it's the same thing and you just love the original Star Wars and you're fucking Christian. Deluded. To me, it's not.
Deluded.
It's not. I didn't grow up in the 70s. I watched Star Wars movies growing up. I grew up in the 90s. So, I mean, to me, it's not like quote-unquote nostalgia. But
deluded lunatic.
Yeah, I'm deluded. but, yeah, this was a great movie. Everyone should go see it.
Plus.
Go see it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it, boys. Fucking love it.
Love it. All right, guys. Thanks for sticking with us through all the madness, the screams, the laughs, and all this podcast had to offer.
Fuck you, Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica. I hope you guys did enjoy. Rate, subscribe, share with your friends and family. You know, leave us a review. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Vero. Go check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Also, go check out our merchandise now found on amazon.com. Search up Nerdy Boys Reviews. That's all we have for you guys on this podcast. You guys are fucking amazing. We love you. But we are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message. That's
stay nerdy, boys.